as we turn to his word tonight. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn again to Proverbs chapter 3. We looked at this last week, and for those that were here, you recall I shared with you that I had preached the first message on that first Sunday morning, last Sunday morning, our 39th anniversary. And this was the message that I had preached that first Sunday night back in 1978. And Joel, you asked for a title, didn't you? It pays to obey. It pays to obey. And we saw in Proverbs chapter 3, these first 10 verses is all we were looking at. And we saw that it's a portion of Scripture where we find truths in groups of two verses at a time. And we find five different groups, five different things that it calls to our attention. We discover there is real profit in doing what God wants us to do. We saw in verses 1 and 2, we were instructed to forget not my law. Let your heart keep my commandments. Okay? What do I get out of it? That's quite often what we ask, isn't it? What's in it for me? Verse 2, length of days, long life, and peace shall they add unto thee. Verses 3 and 4, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck and write them upon the table of your heart. What do I get from it? So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And it was at that point that we ran out of time, and we want to pick up at that point this evening. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we sang a prayer, and we now come and just ask that you might fall fresh upon each of us through your Spirit. I pray that in these moments ahead, you would continue to be glorified in this place through what is said and done. Guide us, give us understanding. May this be more than just words to fill our heads and our ears, but may it truly speak to our hearts. In your name I pray, amen. Thank you, Samantha. So, after we've looked at those first two, let's look at the next group of two, and that would be verses, what, 5 and 6. And notice it tells us in this very familiar portion, what can we say about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Over the years when Ed Beeman was here, my word, if we had a dime for every time he quoted that to us, we would all be rich, wouldn't we? That was his favorite verse. That was his life verse. And you never got in touch with him, whether it was in person or correspondence, that he didn't make reference to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And why don't we say it without looking at it, okay? You know that, don't you? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, let's look at this familiar portion, and notice it says here that we are to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. Well, of course I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. What do you think I am, a heathen? No, I think we're normal. I think we're human. And human beings like to trust whom? We like to trust ourselves, don't we? That's what comes natural to us. We often talk about comfort zone. And the truth of the matter is, it must not be in our regular comfort zone to trust the Lord in all our ways, or I think we would do it much more often, don't you? It's not. I'm a smart person. I can figure this out. I know how this is all going to work. And so we begin something, and bottom line is we get ourselves in a dither. And when we finally quit making excuses about it, we hang our head and we admit, I should have taken this to the Lord. I should have trusted the Lord in this. I thought I could do it myself. I think one of the best Old Testament illustrations of leaning not unto your own understanding, if you'd take your Bibles and turn with me, would be to turn to Joshua chapter 7. It's a very familiar story, but you know, there was such a tremendous victory over Israel's enemies in Joshua chapter 6. Haven't you noticed that, at least I have discovered, some of my greatest battles come on the heels of seeing God do great things, great victories. Maybe we have been working towards something, maybe preparing. We have really been committing that to the Lord in prayer. And we see this thing come and go. What a relief. And it's right after that that oftentimes we find ourselves struggling. And you would think after such a tremendous victory as the Israelites saw in chapter 6. What's chapter 6? Tell me about it, Pastor. Well, that's the walls of Jericho falling down. God did a tremendous miracle for those people. They didn't know how they were going to get through those walls. God directed Joshua. He said, here's what you do. Here's your battle plan. You just take a hike. That was really what God told him to do. You know, just take a hike and trust me. Isn't that what God said? Take a hike and trust me. And it worked. And the walls fell. One of the problems that I think I have to keep reminding myself about is, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, when we turn the corner on a new year, and that in Lamentations chapter 3, God's mercies are what? They are new every day. He does not want us to depend upon yesterday's mercies, yesterday's victories, yesterday's strength. And that's one of the things I struggle with. Things are going along so good that sometimes, humanly speaking, I just forget to recommit, renew, take time, spend time with the Lord. Lord, today is something new. I don't know what today is going to bring. We get carried along with how good things. That's what happened in Joshua chapter 6, I think, because in Joshua chapter 7, it was time to move on. The first enemy, the city, was conquered, and the next one was the small city of Ai. Jericho was a huge obstacle, huge obstacle. And that obstacle fell before their eyes and dissipated, and they had victory. But Ai, that was such a small little place. You remember the story. We find that in verse 2, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and he spake unto them, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, and they returned and said to Joshua, let not all the people go up, but let, maybe 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men. And what happened? And they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them down in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. What happened? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And what's our verse say? Lean not unto your own understanding. What was Joshua's problem? What was his problem? What's that? Is there any record that the Lord asked, or that Joshua asked the Lord, what do you think, Lord, what's your battle plan for Ai? Nowhere. Joshua, you made the grade such flying colors in chapter 6, and now you fall flat on your face because you are doing what? You are leaning on your own understanding. I'm sure had Joshua said, Lord, what do you think? Joshua would have heard from the Lord, you're not ready to go to battle because there is sin in the camp. I omitted that verse in verse 1, but it was that fact which God told Joshua when he finally, and isn't this typical of human nature? We lean on our own understanding, we fall flat on our face, and then what's Joshua inclined to do? Turn to the Lord. Lord, what's wrong? Lord, help us. Lord, how come you didn't give us victory? Isn't it terrible the way that we treat the Lord at times? And we know the story. Enough of the illustration. We move back to our text. It says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways. You mean those things that seem so no-brainer? I'm supposed to acknowledge him in that? What part of in all your ways acknowledge him confuses you? The no-brainers as well as the impossible ones. Sometimes we smugly say, well, you know, it was such a small thing. I don't want to just bother the Lord with taking these small requests to him. Show me in the Bible where there is ever a genuine request brought to the Lord that God considers a bother. Would you show that to me? Where does that mentality come from? You know what it comes from? Pride. And it comes from, I can figure some things out myself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Oh, that God would bring us all to the point where we would be done with the futility of trying to do things on our own because, well, it was obvious what I should do. Then how come it failed? Because we didn't take it to the Lord in prayer. In all your ways, acknowledge him. When we think about in all of our ways acknowledging him, I think of Gideon. In the book of Judges, chapter 6, Judges chapter 6, verse And in verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers have told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? In all your ways acknowledge him." In verse 15, Gideon says, "Lord, I come from a lowly family. I'm not an important family." And we know that Gideon, once he was sure that God had spoken to him, he put before the Lord a couple of tests. Sometimes we fault him for not just jumping into it. We know that he says, "Well, Lord, if this is really of you, then let the ground be dry and the fleece be wet. And the next day, let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet." Point is, he acknowledged the Lord. He got the Lord's direction. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. "I think this is what God wants me to do, but I need to be sure of it." And so we find Gideon's humility. And he acknowledged the Lord, "Lord, I'm a nobody, but if you can use me, I'm willing." 1 Kings chapter 3, we find another account of one who was not just going to lean on his own understanding, but he was going to acknowledge the Lord. 1 Kings 3, we find here, in verse 5 it says, "In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, you've shown your servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before you in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And you have kept for him this great kindness in the fact that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." What he was saying is, "Lord, I'm greatly honored that you've chosen me to do this, but," in verse 7, "you've made your servant king instead of David my father. I'm but a little child. I don't know how to go out or how to come in. In all your ways acknowledge him." What was Solomon doing? He was saying, "Lord, it's a great honor that you've chosen me for this position, but I don't have the ability. I don't know how to do this. I need your help." And in these verses, we know what Solomon asked for. He said, "Give your servant," verse 9, "an understanding heart to judge your people so that I can discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people?" Some people would have gotten the big head. Some people would have said, "Great, this is what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for this opportunity to exercise such power and have the authority." Not Solomon and not Gideon. Both of these men were humbled when God chose them. Both of them sought the Lord, and both of them said, "Lord, we need help from you." And that's what this verse is about. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And then what's the profit? What do we get out of it? What does it say? It says, and then he's going to do what? He's going to show us the way. He's going to direct our paths. He will lead us through it, in it. Are you saying, Pastor, that if I do this, there will never be a problem? No. Sometimes God's leading is through the midst of trials and difficulties, aren't they? I think of that tremendous verse in Isaiah 43 that we looked at some weeks ago. And in this, the Lord said, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. If that's my will for you, you can count on me being there with you. And through the rivers, they'll not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, when it's my will for you to pass through the fire, so to speak, you won't be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Tremendous promises. You see, just because I've trusted in the Lord with all my heart, I haven't leaned on my own understanding. I've committed this unto Him. So now when He directs my paths, it's going to be peaches and cream and smooth sailing. Doesn't say that. What we can trust is when God leads us, He will see us through it because He will be there with us as we go through those paths. Great promise, isn't it? Great prophet. Well, let's move on. And let's look at the next coupling of two verses. Verses 7 and 8 of our text. "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Be not wise in your own eyes. This one kind of sounds like it could be a second cousin of "lean not unto your own understanding," doesn't it? Kind of the same thought. Don't trust yourself. I wonder if it was a mistake, the fact that this was recorded twice, said kind of the same thing, but in two different ways. You think that was an oversight on the Lord's part? When something is repeated, why is it repeated? Because who needs it? I need it. I need it. And don't pass over that lightly. Here it's in our face once again, the second time. Wise up, Christian. Don't be a fool and think you can make it on your own. You can't. So in verse 7, "Be not wise in your own eyes." Notice in Proverbs 16, verse 2, these words. It tells us this: all the ways of a man are what? Clean in his own eyes. What could be wrong with this? Be not wise in your own eyes, for the Lord is the one that weighs the spirits. Look at verse 25 of that same proverb, Proverbs 25, 16. There is a way that seems right unto a man or woman, but the end thereof are the ways of... This isn't the way. This isn't the way. But it seemed so right at the time. Back in our verse, "Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord." Fear the Lord. Notice in Proverbs 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Fearing the Lord, that's wisdom. Being wise in our own eyes, that's foolishness. We call it wisdom, but it's foolishness. But fearing the Lord, there is our strength, there is our answer. Depart from evil. Depart from evil, it says in verse 7. Job 28:28 tells us this. Let me just read it for you rather than give you time to find it. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Job 28:28. Okay, there's what I'm asked to do. What's in it for me? What good is it? What's the profit again in our verse? It shall be health to thy navel or body, and marrow to our bones. Marrow to our bones. This one is an interesting word of profit. This one speaks specifically about beneficial to us in what way? Physically? Some of these things we like. In verse 4, you're going to gain good understanding in the sight of God and man. Well, you know, people are going to think well of you. They're going to have a great respect for you. But what's this one about? This talks about what? Our bodies. He says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it's going to be good for you even bodily, physically. I was thinking about this. It's going to be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. And I was thinking about so many things that the world and the world's people are involved in that are so harmful to their bodies. And I think about, you know, the Lord has given here, the Lord created these bodies of ours. The Lord wants us to take good care of our bodies, doesn't He? And you know, if we are careless with our bodies, we're going to suffer the consequences of it. And we think of the things that are so important to the world. The news this week, along with the inauguration of President Trump, was the extradition of whom? From Mexico back to our country. Pardon? Oh, El Chapo, the number one man as far as king of the drug lords, responsible for much of the drugs that comes into our nation. You think of the damage that is done by experimentation and drug addiction. Drugs, prostitution, the murders and things that this man has been involved in. And we think about how that there are so many things You might say, well, that's on the extreme end. Yeah, well, there are other things. Whether we talk about social drinking, whether we talk about smoking, whether we talk about marijuana use, whether we talk about those e-cigarettes, whatever it is that are harmful to our bodies, the Lord said, you know what? If you'll not be wise and fear me, respect me, and depart from those things, you're going to see I'm going to reward you with much better things physically in your life and in your health. 9 and 10. We move on to our last couplet. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. In the Old Testament, under the economy of the law, the Israelites were required, by law, to set aside for the Lord what portion of anything of their produce or whatever, what portion? I'm hearing one-fifth and a tithe, but when were they supposed to do that? What was the key? When the harvest was done, and if you had anything left over, you gave it to the Lord. The Old Testament law required them to do what with what? They gave to the Lord a portion of the first fruit. I have been waiting all summer long for a tomato off of my tomato plant. I'm sick of these cold storage ones that you get in the grocery store. I just want that first taste. But you know, the Old Testament Jews, they had to offer to the Lord that first nice ripe tomato. Give him the first. Give him the best. Then you take. Well, we're not under law. That's right. We're not. But you know, even in the New Testament, we find that Paul gave instruction to the church at Corinth, and I'm trying to find it here, about how that they were on the first day of the week, they were supposed to do what? Set aside what? The portion for the Lord. Can't find it right now. I've lost that in particular, but I know that Paul teaches the churches. You don't pay all your bills, and then if you've got anything left, you give it to the Lord when the offering plate is passed. He said, no, upon the first day of the week, you set aside for the Lord, and then you give what's left. Anybody find that reference yet? You're looking, aren't you? Well, that'll give you something to do this week, won't it? Anyway, I know that principle is taught in the New Testament. Yes, we're not required by law to give a portion of the first fruits, but you know, we ought to willingly. We have been blessed with so much more, haven't we, than those that lived under the Old Testament economy of the law. Well, what do we get from it? It says here, your barns will be filled with plenty. Your presses will burst out with new wine. This one, it's, the prophet is multiplied blessings on God's obedient children. Multiplied blessings. And we can find that pictured in various ways. Proverbs 11, 24, 25. There is he that scattereth, gives, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than his meat. I got to keep back, but he says, you know what, that kind of miserly keeping for yourself, it tends to poverty. The liberal, this has nothing to do with politicians. The liberal soul shall be made fat. That is the generous one, the one that is considering others. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. We could give other portions. Malachi 3:10, Luke 6:38, Proverbs 28:27 that demonstrate this last principle of profit. Well, does it pay to obey, as our title suggests? It certainly does, doesn't it? And we've seen several different ways in which God has demonstrated to his own, trust me, commit your way to me, I will take care of you, I will meet your every need. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the truth of your word. Thank you for what we could see. And I pray that as we go, we would think about these principles. Help us to take to heart. And I pray, Lord, that we might even be willing to put you to the test by faith. Not because we don't believe it, but because we want to give you the opportunity to prove yourself true and reliable. Dismiss us now with your protection upon us. We would assume that the fog has remained. It was here as it got dark. Take each one safely home in the thick fog. May each one arrive without injury or harm. In your name we pray. Amen. And you are dismissed.